Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so last night I was chatting with Jason Walker. Jason Walker has basically an internet radio show that he does. And we had talked about kind of doing like a little bit of a simulcast here this morning where you know, I'd be on his show, he'd be on our show. But instead, you know, since we recorded the conversation last night, I thought, well, heck, he'll play the audio on his show. I'll play the audio on my show. I played a portion of that, and it was just kind of just my raw reactions 24 hours out from this assassination attempt on President Trump, when President Trump was shot in the ear, and you could see the blood on the side of his face. You could see the blood from his ear, but yet nonetheless, you know, he rose to his feet and let the crowd know that he was okay, let America know that he was okay, and raised his fist, encouraging people to continue to fight for the future of our country, which is so important right now. Here's the part where Jason Walker and I talked about the obvious security failures that we witnessed this weekend.
When you look at, I don't know if you saw Dan Bongino's comments today, but this is a guy that knows the Secret Service inside and out, having spent a dozen years in the agency. It was an abject failure from the top down. And, you know, this isn't just Kimberly Cheadle. It's Mayorkas. It's Biden himself or the administration. How does someone get on a roof, Aaron, 150 yards away, and with witnesses saying, look, there's a guy on this roof, and the cops just didn't do nothing?
Yeah, no, that's the biggest question. Right. I mean, that thing was only was that close. Nobody I mean, look, we aren't Dan Bongino. We didn't serve in the Secret Service. Unless you did, I don't know. But
I did not.
But you don't need to be Dan Bongino or a Secret Service alumni to recognize the fact that, wait a minute, there's a roof right there. And not only did you allow somebody to get up there, but you didn't occupy the roof already yourselves. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure we're going to hear more information as to, you know, well, he's a former president, not the current president, so he doesn't have as much security as, okay, yeah, no more excuses, especially when you've got what the lady that runs the Secret Service worked for PepsiCo before this. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are questioning whether this is another diversity, equity, inclusion hire. But you're right. It's like from the top on down, how in the world do people in Pennsylvania, just regular or rally goers, notice a guy climb on the roof and point it out? And that guy even got in that position with a rifle strapped to his back in the clinging to a rifle in the first place.
All right. And then there's more to follow with that. Maybe I'll play more of that conversation later this hour for you. Just a few minutes left of that on top of what I shared in the 6 o'clock hour. But first, of course, it is Monday, and every Monday, you know, we want to cover other news of the day here as well, because I've got phone lines open for the rest of the morning, starting at 7:30 here. And on through the 8 o'clock and the 9 o'clock hour of the show, when we take you statewide all across Montana from Plentywood to Missoula. But, of course, it is Monday, and every Monday in the 7 o'clock hour, we get to your business news and more with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And but also, I want to, you know, Evelyn has so much wisdom. I want to get her take on the news over the weekend and the aftermath as well. So maybe we'll start there right after this. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. We'll have phone lines open after Evelyn for the rest of the morning, practically.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There's a lot of clamor from Capitol Hill from some Democrats for President Biden to step aside. But when other candidates have bowed out, that has not gone so well. Look at President Lyndon Johnson in 1968. He was convinced he couldn't win re-election. Vice President Hubert Humphrey was then the Democratic nominee. He lost big time in the Electoral College. The Democrats even switched out their vice presidential running mate in 1972. Missouri Senator Tom Eagleton was to be the running mate of George McGovern. But Eagleton had undergone shock treatments for depression. McGovern then switched out Eagleton for Sergeant Shriver. McGovern only won Massachusetts and Washington, D.C. that year. If President Biden is not the candidate, congressional Democrats say the person they would like would be Vice President Harris, but only if President Biden steps aside. And if history is our guide, changing the candidates doesn't seem to help. It often fractures the party even more. As an example, look at what happened to the Democrats in 1968 and 1972. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
The aerial firefighter who gave her life fighting a quickly burning fire north of Helena, Montana, has now been identified, and she's been described as a great pilot, one of Brazil's first female egg pilots. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got the story of this heroic pilot, plus a way for you to help out, a way that you can contribute to the Montana Firefighter Fund. Both of those stories you can find at MontanaTalks.com, or if you've got the Montana Talks app on your phone, you'll see it there as well.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I know we've got a lot of business news to get to here this morning as well, but if I can, I'd like to take just a little break from how we would normally do this segment here. You know, Evelyn Pyburn, for those of you that have gotten a chance to read her columns, have gotten a chance to hear her on this show, she is just so full of wisdom. And by the way, she's always been that way. I've talked with her son, Reed, and he's like, man, the lessons I learned over the kitchen table as a kid. Evelyn, so great to have you here on the show this Monday.
Well, thank you for such kind comments. I don't know if I deserve such praise.
Well, of course you do. You know, the reaction I have overall after just these, you know, what took place on Saturday is shocked but not surprised. What was your reaction and just, I guess, just your thoughts in general?
Well, I was kind of like that. I was surprised that I wasn't surprised. It was almost like I was just waiting for that announcement to come. And then I thought about it and I realized it's because of all the rhetoric that the left has been spewing forth, and including President Biden. I mean, he talked about having a target on Donald Trump. I mean, he and others were saying things that if Trump had ever said such things, the media would have been hysterical about just one of those comments, and yet they were just constantly making such remarks, and you had to, at some level, you had to know it was, something was going to happen, and I am so thankful that he missed, because I hate to think what today would be like if he had succeeded in assassinating Donald Trump. I don't know what this country would be doing right now, but it is a scary thought.
That's right. It's not only that President Donald Trump dodged a bullet, although he did get hit by it, but our country dodged the bullet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would have been taken very calmly, and I hate to speculate on things that might happen, but I just don't think it would have been accepted quietly by Trump's supporters.
One of the things that I talked about with Jason Walker that I didn't play yet from our conversation was, you know, how do we unite as a country now? And that's a question I have is, you know, because what should unite us is what divides us, our constitutional rights, our freedoms. We've got, you know, a good chunk of the country that wants to, that has supported crackdowns on our First Amendment rights, that wants to take away our Second Amendment rights. And so, you know, there should be certain principles that should unite us as Americans. The flag should unite us as Americans. But even that divides us as Americans, because there's some people that are hoisting all of these other flags as they tear down and trash and sometimes burn our own American flag. So how can our country be united when the very principles that this country was founded on is what they're using to divide us right now?
I don't think it's true, though, that everybody wants to be united or to, you know, go along and get along. I think that there is especially from the left, although the rhetoric can be just as strong from the right. But the there is not a sincere desire for there to be harmony at all, because, like you say, it's a fundamental thing that divides us, and that is the Constitution, and that we have we choose our leaders through elections, and we have a segment of society that doesn't want to do that anymore. They don't want our leadership to be duly and honestly elected. They want to manipulate things and coerce the kind of leadership they want. And I don't know how you compromise with that kind of opposite point of view.
Yeah, they want to win at all costs. And that was the other point I made. It's like, okay, so here's Joe Biden saying, oh, well, I'm going to condemn this this use of violence. This is, should not be the norm in America. Well, Joe Biden, you have violated every other norm with what you've tried to do to Donald J. Trump. I mean, he has faced a political assassination attempt on every single front, and they've failed at every other political assassination attempt. And so, oh, but at least he's willing to condemn this violation of norms. But yet he stood by and took part in these other violations of norms through his own administration.
And encouraged them. I mean, if you listen at his language in a lot of situations, like I say, Donald Trump wouldn't dare say some of the things that President Biden has said, and Biden has been able to say them without the tiniest bit of pushback from media or anybody else. But I just think it's been something that they have been agitating for years now. You know, I don't know how many years you go back when they started vilifying Trump, but it certainly doesn't fit into a process of constitutional campaigning and elections and stuff.
A violation of norms on so many different fronts, not just going after Trump, but going against peaceful, law-abiding American citizens as well. All right, we'll get to the business news headlines right after this, right after the Farm and Ranch Report.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
Wow, we're constantly hearing about polls and surveys these days. That's great. They give us a good measure of attitudes. But interviewing a sample of Americans isn't as accurate as interviewing everyone in the country. That's why pollsters talk about the margin of error. The term describes the biggest likely difference between results when polling, say, a random sample of 1,000 and if we talked with every American. Here's the general idea. Say a survey finds 52% favor candidate red and the error margin is plus or minus 3 percentage points. That means there's some chance as many as 55% back red, 52 plus 3. It could also be as few as 49, 52 minus 3. Of course, the error margin also applies to the portion supporting candidate blue. In this example, the difference between red and blue would need to be more than 6 points for the results to be outside the error margin. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your Poll Parade.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay from the lower to middle 90s. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, low temperatures from the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. And the outlook for Tuesday does call for more sunshine, with high temperature readings at around 92 across the area, clear into Tuesday night. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Bullet points.
I'm Eben Brown. Are you old enough to remember cigarette vending machines and bowling alleys? They didn't look like the soda and candy vending machines. They had those little pull handles, and if you had put in the correct change, pulling that handle meant getting a pack of smokes. Now, those are long gone now because of public indoor smoking bans, and there was also little way of making sure underage kids with coins couldn't get a hand on cigarettes. Now, some grocery store locations in Alabama and Oklahoma have vending machines selling ammunition. And while you can't smoke ammo, there is still an age restriction in buying it, and that's why the machines, operated by the American Rounds Company, use high tech to check IDs and scan faces. The machines resemble ATM kiosks, and the ammo vending machines can be set to comply with all local laws and ordinances, so the company has plans for more installs. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA released its latest World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report, and the wheat outlook here in the U.S. is for larger supplies, domestic use, exports, and Indian stocks. Indian stocks are predicted at 856 million bushels. That's the highest in 5 years, while the season average price for U.S. wheat is down 80 cents in this month's report at $5.70. We'll look at the corn next.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
With USDA's latest World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report, it shows larger supplies, greater domestic use and exports, and lower ending stocks for corn this month. Corn production is forecast up by 240 million bushels on greater planted and harvested area from the June acreage report. Yield is unchanged at 181 bushels an acre, while the season average farm gate price is down 10 cents to $4.30 a bushel for corn. I'm Lane Northland.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's get to your business news here with Evelyn Vyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And I encourage everybody to sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. You'll get a lot of these news headlines in your email inbox to start off your week. Great coverage across the state of Montana as well in the print edition of the hot sheet. Here in about 10 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines to anything and everything you want to talk about, and we'll keep it that way for most of the rest of the morning. We may have some members of our congressional delegation and other state officials that may want to jump in on the show here later this morning, but other than that, we'll keep the phone lines open for you. All right, Evelyn, I know it's always good to start out with some good news here on the business front, especially 100 years in counting. Tell us about this Montana business.
Well, this one of Billings' premier companies is celebrating their 100th birthday. A&I Distributing, for all their significance in serving our state and region, is probably not readily recognized by many people because they don't necessarily have a high profile. But be assured, if you have any kind of a vehicle, you have undoubtedly used products that they distribute to the entire region. In fact, to an 8-state area from Arlington, Washington to the border of North Dakota and Minnesota. Don Stanaway and his family head A&I Distributing. Mr. Stanaway, who is now 94 years old, started working for the company that was started by his father in partnership with P.E. Crowley in Butte. Mr. Stanaway began his career at age 7 as he traveled around the country with his father. A&I Distributing is truly a family business. Today, Don's two sons, Scott and Skip, head the company, and two grandsons, Tyler and Tate, started a branch distributorship in Oregon, and just last year launched another outlet in Arlington, Washington. The company employs about 242 people and serve every town and hamlet along a 1,273-mile stretch across the country. And Mr. Stanaway said that they have a truck that delivers to every town in the country. So if you see that A&I Distributing on the sign of a truck, you'll know what it is doing and how much we all depend upon them, and this is a company that Billings should be most proud of.
Well, and what a cool angle here, too.
3 minute stations.
What a remarkable.
3 minutes to your next Fox News 30.
Sorry for that audio in the background. We gotta kill our Fox News satellite feed audio while we're in the middle of the show here because they'll give up. They'll give more updates like that. Yeah, just a heads up for our guest producer filling in this morning. Big thanks to him for helping out. Yes, what an incredible story, Evelyn. You also write in the hot sheet this morning that Don Stanaway's father, Frank, helped launch the business in Butte back in 1924, an era when the world of transportation was transitioning from horse and buggy to the automobile. And today, ANI dominates the passenger car motor oil distribution business. I mean, what a cool history, I think, of also our friends listening in Butte right now.
Yes, it is, and it's really interesting to listen to Mr. Stanaway talk because he talks business, and he said he thinks about it 24/7, and I don't doubt that for a moment because what he knows and everything, not just about his business, but the regulations of his entire industry and everything, he's a man who is truly dedicated to his business, and he is so proud of his family, as well he should be, but I think we all should be really proud of the success of this company located in Billings and serving such a huge region. It's just, it's phenomenal.
Employing 242 people, it reminds me, and also the historia starting at 7 years old and then became president in 1956, it reminds me of my grandpa Ron in Glasgow, Montana. He would stand on the street corner delivering newspapers for the Glasgow Courier as a kid before he later became the publisher himself. And so, yeah, what a neat story about the Stanaway family there. More business news headlines. Montana is at the top when it comes to health care for seniors. Give us the quick 30-second version of the story, and then we'll talk more after the Fox News update.
Okay, well, Senior Living has announced that Montana's primary strength is its health care accessibility for older citizens. Montana ranks second following North Dakota, and both states have earned an A-plus in a survey of the what states offer in terms of health care for seniors.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Montana also ranks seventh for healthcare cost score, thanks to moderately lower insurance premiums and annual drug costs, which are about 40% lower than the national average. So as high as those may seem here, it sounds like we're better than the rest of the country. Okay, stand by. We'll get to the Fox News update and then be back here in just a few seconds. It should be running right now if we've got the right button queued up here. If not, we can just skip it once again. Yeah, let's just go ahead and skip it there, Caden. If it's not running automatically, we'll get that.
How do we go forward from here?
After former First Lady Melania Trump's eloquent statement that.
All right, yeah, we'll just skip that. Nobody wants to hear Joe Biden right now, anyway. If you ask me. All right, Evelyn Pyburn. Interesting story about Montana healthcare being tops, in the country, and especially having lower insurance premiums and prescription drug costs than the national average. I would think that would be surprising to a lot of people.
Yeah, it kind of was for me, except then I thought, well, you know, we do have, premier hospitals, in Billings and but also across the state. And, it was kind of briefly mentioned, but I don't know what impact this has, but a lot of the northern tier states ranked very high in terms of the survey, and I wonder what kind of impact it has being so close to Canada, because a lot of people come down from Canada to get health care that they can't get in a timely fashion in Canada. So I don't know what the ramifications are there, but I think that's kind of interesting. And the lower ranking states were in the South. So it's Montana is a good place to be if you're old.
Well, and that's what's driving a lot of the housing, I know, in some of the larger towns in Montana. It's not just out-of-staters that are moving into these communities, but also people from some of the smaller communities that are aging, wanting to be closer to healthcare facilities and senior living facilities as well. Another story here before we run out of time. Grazing rule challenged. Glad to see the American Farm Bureau Federation taking up this fight.
Yeah, I don't know how much people who aren't involved in agriculture realize that a lot of Montana agriculture is has for decades and decades been dependent or in partnership with the federal government in leasing property, the federal property, to graze cattle. And they take, you know, the farmers and ranchers, they take care of it. And the Farm Bureau makes the point that they take really good care of it. And this rule change that would end, I guess, a lot of this grazing with the federal government, they're just pushing back on it and saying this is a devastating blow to Montana agriculture and agriculture everywhere, because it is a major underpinning of the whole economy. So they're trying to block this change, and they point out that without the benefits of grazing on public lands, they would be increasing the risk of wildfire and invasion of invasive weeds, and spurring what the farmers do in maintaining the land is good for improving the forage growth of native species and just protecting and keeping it in good shape. So,
that's right. Well, great to see the American Farm Bureau Federation taking this fight on. And I imagine with this latest Chevron decision by the United States Supreme Court, that gives them very good grounds to fight from. Because this is a clear example of the BLM going overstepping their bounds. All right, Evelyn Pye. I'll tell you what, 20 years ago, I was working as a runner for NBC's Today Show at both the Democrat National Convention in Boston and the Republican National Convention in New York City. Now, 20 years later, Republicans set to gather in Milwaukee. There'll be a lot of Montanans there for it this coming week ahead. I've got the calendar wide open so we can take you there, give you coverage from the RNC in Milwaukee, plus take your phone calls and much more. Montana Talks statewide, 9 to 10.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, no surprise here. The people in charge in the city of Bozeman do not want to make housing less expensive. They want to drive up the cost of housing. This is an angle that this is one more headline from the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet that I want to share with you before we get back to the big story of the day here. That everybody has been talking about, that I know you want to weigh in on as well. And we do have the phone lines open for you right now, 406-294-0970. But, when it comes to this whole high cost of housing debate, when government benefits from the high cost of housing, why would government ever want to lower the cost of housing? If the city of Bozeman gets more money from every single one of you, the more the value of your property goes up, why would they ever want to lower the cost of housing? They make more money the higher the costs get. So the more regulations they put out there, the more money, the more it drives up the cost and the more money they get off of it. Now, another argument is that, well, cities like Billings drive development out of the city, through so many regulations, and then that's why they have fewer taxpayers than they otherwise might have, because they instead push construction out into the county instead of encouraging more construction inside city limits. But then you know what they do? Then they'll just let you build out in the county, and then the city will come out and annex you and take it over so they could take over your taxpayer dollars. That's how they get around this. You build it in the county, and then the city wants to come in and take it over. But anyway, here's another headline out here. Despite the high cost of housing due to excessive regulation, a Bozeman official is urging more regulations in building codes. Kimmy Barrett, a researcher and policy analyst with the Bozeman-based Headwaters Economics, which is a radical left-wing dark money group, by the way. It's a radical environmentalist outfit. Well, Headwaters is urging state officials to adopt new building codes. She also recommends thinking about how, where, and under what conditions homes are allowed in high-risk locations. So more regulations to drive up more costs for you. No surprise there. All right, back into the big story of the day here. So here's more of my conversation with Jason Walker. Recorded this last night. He's got an internet radio show. By the way, let me give you the details on how you can find his show. I always want to give credit where credit's due. Jason Walker has been in radio and television for nearly 30 years and loves Montana sports. Two-time winner of the National Sports Media Association Montana Sportscaster of the Year. You can listen to Continental Divide Radio at jasonwalkermedia.com and stream it, of course, and he's got a Continental Divide Radio app. But Jason reached out to me yesterday, wanted to get my thoughts on the big news over the weekend. And so I wanted, and then he gave me permission to share our conversation with you as well. Here's some of what I didn't get to already in the 6 o'clock hour of the show.
Montana Talks joining us here, Jaywalk in the Mornings. Okay, so what's next? We've got the convention starting. Biden gave a speech Sunday night. It was typical rhetoric. He almost said we need to make America great again. That was funny. But when you look at it now moving forward from this point in time, July 15th to November the 5th, what do you see happening?
Well, that's a really good question. I wish we could see unity, but let's be honest. Most people in our country don't know what to unite around anymore. Anyway, I mean, after 9/11, we united around our flag. Well, there's too many elements on the other side that are too busy raising other flags and burning and tearing down our own. Right? We should be uniting around our Constitution and constitutional principles, but the other side is cheerleading these kangaroo courts and these phony convictions. And so if you can't even condemn, you know, the weaponization of government against political opposition and basic constitutional rights, freedom of speech that was under attack in the apologize for the noise here. Freedom of speech that was under attack in the COVID era, the constant attack on our Second Amendment rights. We've become so divided that what used to unite us is what divides us right now, which is our constitutional principles, because there are too many people in this country that don't even share that basic common love of flag and of constitutional principles. And so how can we be united if the very things that always united us are what divides us right now?
Jen Psaki said Sunday that the convention needs to change its speakers and change its tone. What do you say to someone like that, that, you know, she is as a big a part of the rhetoric from the other side as anybody?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. When have they ever changed their rhetoric? No, I think Donald Trump was exactly right, figuratively speaking, when he got up and he said, fight, fight, fight. Our side needs to continue to fight for freedom and fight for our constitutional principles and all the way through November. And we will not be silenced. And they don't get to take shots at this man, literally and figuratively, and tell the rest of us to shut up. We've had the shut up and wear your mask argument now for too long. It's time to stand up for what this country is all about. And they want to silence us ahead of November. But back to your thing, you know, I fear not only for attacks against our side, which we've already been seeing for several years here. I I also have concerns about their side and how bloody Chicago may get because of their radical left-wing activists. I mean, we were already fearing another violent summer of Chicago like a previous Democrat convention a few decades ago. And look at their embrace of these Hamas terrorists and apologizing for and taking the side of the wackos in the Gaza Strip that committed the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. That's the people that's going to show up at their convention in Chicago. On top of their, the people that apologized or took part in the BLM riots and burned down black owned businesses. And I think there are enemies of this country that want nothing more than to spark a civil war. And, but by the grace of God, President Trump survived that attempt. But, I think conservatives in this country and constitution loving American citizens are going to keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep going to work, paying the bills, and be even more focused on November and taking this country back from all this insanity.
Well, you can catch him, Montana.
All right, there you go. Yeah, that was Jason Walker. And again, you can find his program, jasonwalkermedia.com, and he's got a Continental Divide radio app as well. So anyways, great to catch up with him last evening. All right, and if you missed any of that audio, you can catch it when the 6 o'clock hour of our Montana Talks program. It could be live on our app right now. If not, give it a few more minutes, and the 6 o'clock hour will be live, and you can go listen to that. The first 2/3 of that conversation from our 6 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. All right, a lot of important information to share with you here this morning. Plus, we've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. And important information. It's not just the big news of the day, the business news of the day, but it's also practical tips. Let me share some practical tips for you. I've noticed this when I'm eating clean, low carb, high protein, getting that Montana beef, getting my vegetables in, avoiding lots of sugar, et cetera, avoiding the lots of sugar and lots of carbs. I've noticed that even in the midst of that, it's like, man, sometimes it's like, why are my metrics not looking a little bit better? I thought I would have either A, added more muscle, or B, lost more fat, just maybe a pound or two over a month. Well, then I realized something. I wasn't getting enough salt. If you're eating all the processed foods, you get a ton of salt in your diet, maybe too much salt in your diet. But if you're eating clean and exercising, you're not getting enough salt in your diet. How did I learn that? I learned it through my diet coach at Billings Last Diet. Look, I'm telling you, Billings Last Diet, if you've got 100 plus pounds to lose, they will help you lose it. You can do it. You will do it. I had 33 pounds to lose. I thought, I'll start with 15, just get back to where I was before that last deployment. And then that was so easy. I thought, let's go for the other 15. And I did. And I've kept it off nearly 6 years later. I'm telling you, these diet coaches are great. The program works. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or give them a call at 406-294-6751. And by the way, you don't have to live in Billings to benefit from Billings Last Diet. They have a remote option, and they are helping people across Montana lose the weight. We had a guy in Billings lost 100 pounds. All right. Phone lines are open. We've got Tim in Billings. We've got Clint in Bozeman. And we've got phone lines open for you, not only right now, but for the remainder of the morning. We'll have the phone lines open for you. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. We'll be back right after this. Plus, some more messages on our Montana Talks app. In fact, I need to check those messages right now during this break before we get to your phone calls right after this.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Fox News commentary.
So-called environmental experts want you to start feeding your cats lab-grown meat to save Mother Earth. Here we go again. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
But I had nothing to do with her disappearance, but people still accuse me of it.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
I feel for their families, and I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the moment no one has been waiting for. Lab-grown meat as cat food is set to hit the U.S. market later this year. Meatly, a London-based startup, has created cruelty-free fake chicken cat food grown from a single fertilized egg. Tasty. The animal rights groups are all for it because no real chickens have to die to cultivate this fake meat in a petri dish. And the environmental crowd touts this process as better for the earth. But I guess it never dawned on these experts that since God placed felines on Mother Earth, they've been eating actual meat, and pretty sure that's not causing a climate apocalypse, even by delusional climate cultist standards. But let's keep in mind, some of these same climate zealots also think you should forego pets in the first place to reduce climate change. I will never eat lab-grown meat, and guess what? My pets won't either. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. During the beginning phase of retirement, many retirees like to spend more freely, and often it's not long before buyer's remorse sets in. If you're about to embark on your retirement years or in the initial stages, there's some purchases you might want to think twice about before spending your hard-earned dollars. Some of the items include buying a boat. There's more to owning one, and costs can add up quickly. And resort living is all the rage. You get resort-style dining, concierge services, weekly housekeeping. But for lots of people, it's a great idea in the first year. And after that, the novelty can quickly wear off. And what better way to travel during retirement than in an RV? But you may wind up forking over lots of dough for the price of one. And a timeshare is also a common retirement purchase because it offers a guaranteed place to vacation and can be shared with your family. But it often comes with many costs beyond the initial investment. Saving you money, Hillary.
I'll tell you what, 20 years ago, I was working as a runner for NBC's Today Show at both the Democrat National Convention in Boston and the Republican National Convention in New York City. Now, 20 years later, Republicans set to gather in Milwaukee. There'll be a lot of Montanans there for it this coming week ahead. I've got the calendar wide open so we can take you there, give you coverage from the RNC in Milwaukee, plus take your phone calls and much more. Montana Talks statewide, 9 to 10.